Open to the book of Ephesians. Now really what Dave read there fits perfectly with what we're going to look at tonight. Sunday's message was the Alpha and the Omega. I've heard that phrase my whole life. And I know it, in our language it would mean A to Z. Alpha is the beginning of the Greek language. Omega is the last letter. If he was speaking in English, he'd say, I am the A, I am the Z. What comes before the A? Well, like Dave says, if we went back to the beginning before there was a beginning, and then we went back three eternities before that, we'd find out that God was already there forever. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. But I'm not going to reteach Sunday's message, but I've got to lay part of that again so that we'll take the next little step here. Now, in Ephesians, we're going to read this, and I'll probably come back to it at the end, okay? We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 1. Father, help me do this in a way that helps us take the next step. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And let me stop just for a moment. These are just going to hit some highlights from Sunday's message. There's only two kinds of humans on earth. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. When God made Adam, especially if you'll think about Adam before Eve was formed from him, there's Adam. In his DNA, within his reproductive system, in Adam was every human that would ever live. All of them. We know that Adam fell. He wasn't created with a fallen nature, and that's why his sin was so heinous. See, to normal humans, sin isn't that big a deal. And the reason why is it comes naturally. All of us were born slaves to sin. You can read that in Romans 6. But see, Adam was not created with a sin nature. It says, God himself breathed life into the nostrils. And in a vision one time I saw that it was God, the second member of the Godhead. It was the Lord Jesus that picked up that lifeless body and breathed that nature, breathed life into Adam. And that's why it says twice in Genesis there, it says, in the image of God created he him. And then it says, in the image of God created he them. Who is the express image of God? It's Jesus. And it's that nature that was breathed into Adam. So he wasn't like us and already had a predisposition towards sin. He didn't have a sin nature. He had a righteous nature. And when he chose, see, and again, Eve, the woman, was deceived. That's why sin is not laid to her account. But Adam wasn't deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was going to choose to go with God's words, or he was going to go with the devil's words, and he knew what he's doing when he did it. And that's why sin is laid to his account. Well, the whole human race, everybody, they were all in Adam. Now, here's one for you. Jesus is called the second man, the last Adam. Did you know from God's point of view, in the same way that every human was in Adam, every believer, whoever was, is, or will be, is in Christ? That's why God's, when it says here, when he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, notice it says, in Christ. It's because you're in him. You are a believer. You're not of the species of Adam anymore. And Sunday we looked at the Alpha and the Omega. Well, we could go to John again. I'm not going to do that to have you turn there, but what does the book of John say? It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Greek says, no, not one single thing. Well, he's sure the Alpha of our creation, isn't he? Nothing was made without the Lord. All substance come from him. He is the Alpha. He is the beginning. And if you think of Adam's species, well, he's the one that formed that body, and he's the one that breathed life into him. He's sure the beginning, the Alpha of Adam's species. But see, then we see him on the cross. And in Jesus didn't die just in the place of Abraham. That would have only provided salvation for the Jews. No, he died in the place of Adam. That's why Paul wrote it. We judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. See? So Christ, when he died, he literally became that serpent. He became the type was in Pharaoh's court where they threw down Aaron's rod and it became a serpent. And it swallowed up all the other serpents. He literally became, he who knew no sin became sin. Swallowed up all of Adam's sin into himself and took it to the grave. Took it to hell with him and was judged. When he died on that cross, it was the end of the world for the species of Adam. And it doesn't matter that many people would be born after that day. I was born 2,000 years later, but see, I'm still in that species of Adam. And this is where we have trouble, because we tend to think linear, time sequential, and God thinks outside of time. So I remember the day that Jim Martin called me, and I know this is a review now. We're going to get to some new things. Jim Martin called me all excited several years ago. He was studying a passage there where in Ephesians 2 where it says we were quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and seated together with him. And he called me, you know, it's Dr. Jim Martin. He's pretty scholarly. He was studying the Greek and the tenses and all that stuff. And he says, do you know what that really says in the Greek? You know, we tend to think, okay, he was raised, and then 2,000 years later when I got born again, then I was quickened to new life. And I was raised. We have that time sequential thinking. He said, that's not what it says. In the Greek it says, from God's, to say it this way, in the realm of the Spirit, the same day Jesus stepped out of that tomb, that same instant, God saw you step out of the tomb with him. And actually, in him. I said, oh my God. You mean God provided my redemption before I was ever born? Mm-hmm. We let the devil beat us up on stuff that Jesus already paid the price for. Does that give us a license to sin? Read Romans 6. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's another lesson. But anyway, we're seeing how Christ was, you can plainly see how he was the beginning of Adam. He was the Alpha. He was the A. And you can see on the cross when he died, when he, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And it says he gave up the ghost. He died. He gave up the spirit. When he died, from God's point of view, that's the whole species of Adam died in Christ. He is the Omega. It was the end of the world. Even for those of us who weren't born for about 2,000 years. From God's point of view, we're just dead men walking. Already died in Christ. But see, right on the other hand, he is the Alpha of a new species. That's why the Bible says he is the firstborn from the dead. Again, that cannot mean, like most preachers will tell you, that's firstborn from physical death. Lazarus had already been raised from physical death. People in the Old Testament had already been raised from physical death. It can't mean that. What does it mean? Well, here's where they'll accuse you of the JDS heresy. You know, Jesus died spiritually. But he did. He literally became that snake. He took on the nature of fallen man in order to swallow up all that sin. That's what was so heinous to him, to be separated from God the Father. He'd never been separated from God. Never. But that's why he's called the firstborn from the dead. He is the first person to ever be born from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now, I used to think sequential because I heard Kenneth Copeland first preach this 20-some-odd years ago. He said, now, if there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn, and a thirdborn, and a fourthborn, and that's all true. He said, your number's in there somewhere, and I'm going, I'd like to know what it is. But see, really, from God's point of view, it's not even like that. Because he saw me come out of the tomb the same day Jesus come out of the tomb. Boy, that's a whole different... Your mind goes, what? But that's what he's trying to do, is renew us in the spirit of our mind. And thank God for Dave's tape series, where he went through methodically with the rich man and Lazarus and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that our spirit man has eyes and it has tips of fingers and it has a tongue. And if it has those parts, it stands to reason it has all the other parts too. Well, your spirit has a mind and it fits inside your physical mind. Well, listen, before you got born again, it says the carnal mind, the one that's fallen, the one that's according to Adam, said it's hostile towards God. It's an enemy of God. But see, you don't have that same kind of mind. You have a mind now that's got a spiritual mind within it that has eternity in it. I don't know if Einstein was a believer or not, but if he's not, you have more capacity to understand things than he did. Because you have a spiritual mind that is not limited by time. Not limited by distance. Pretty good stuff. Well, so we see him now as the Alpha, the A, the beginning of a new species. Now, that pretty well catches us up to Sunday. Now, this verse that I'm headed to here in chapter 1, Sunday I had a pretty good idea of the Alpha. I saw pretty clear how he's the beginning of our species, all right? I saw how he was the beginning of Adam's and the end of Adam's. Then I saw how he's the beginning of ours. But he's also going to be the ending. Now watch this. So picking it up here in verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, say inheritance, in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. I just in case you weren't here, I handled that pretty well Sunday. That does not mean what most people say it means. You know, like, well, he chose you and he rejected you and he chose you and he rejected you and he predestinated all of that before the foundation of the world. No, that word just really means foreknowledge, according to the foreknowledge of God. He knew. You know why he knows? He lives outside of time. Again, he is not guessing. Prophecy is not guesswork to him. You know, we prophesy and then, oh, I hope that comes to pass. I hope that was God. I don't know what he would even call it. He probably wouldn't even call it prophecy. Because all he does, time to him is like a big circle, like a railroad track running around in a circle. He said, just a minute, he goes over in the future and looks, comes back and says, here's what's going to happen. And it's not guesswork. He's as much there as he is here. He's just looking at it. I mean, it's not guesswork to him. You can read about Revelations and all the devil cast into the lake of fire and all of this stuff. That's not guesswork, honey. I mean, he goes over and looks. Our mind again goes, what? 1,000 years to him is as a single day, you know. Well, let's keep going. We haven't got to our verse yet. To have foreknowledge is not to cause things to happen. Just because you know it is going to happen doesn't mean you caused it. I like to say it this way. Did he force Adam? Did he predestinate and force Adam to take the bite of the forbidden fruit? Whose choice was that? If it wasn't Adam's choice, it wouldn't be sin, would it? It's Adam's choice. But did he know it? Well, absolutely he knew it. That's why it says Christ, from God's point of view, was crucified before the foundation of the world. He knew it. That doesn't mean he caused it. Adam caused it. I could get into the nitrogen-cooled computers, but Dave has already done that over and over again. So he decided ahead of time that we would have the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Boy, I wish we... The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now here's the verse. I said all that to get to here. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's the verse that's been rolling in me since Sunday. How many of you know that this earth is scheduled for termination? It's coming to an end. Peter talks about it with intense fire and a loud noise. Revelations, it says, before his face who sat on the throne, heaven and earth fled. Whew, fled away. But then John the Revelator wrote, he says, I saw a new heaven. And I saw a new earth. Wonderful things there. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. No more suffering. And in that one, the devil's going to already be cast into the pit. This is after the 1,000 years. This is a new heaven, and he ain't coming back, honey, from that one. When it says here, gathering together all things in Christ, I finally got it somewhere between Sunday and today. See, this everything that is, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without him, not one single thing. All substance proceeded from him. And at the end of the age, all substance is going to return to him. Then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So here we go again. He was the Alpha for Adam's species. He was the Omega. Now we see him as the Alpha of your species. What are we called? It calls us children of light. It calls us the children of God. John says, beloved, what a great honor that now we should be called the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. You know, we look at each other right now and you go, well, pretty much look the same as before. You're not seeing the real me. I'm not seeing the real you. You not yet appear what you really are. But we know when he appears, we're going to be like him. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Again, yes, sir. The first Adam had dominion on the earth. God said, let him have dominion. He was speaking to the Holy Ghost. And boy, Adam had dominion on the earth, didn't he? But he lost it when he chose the devil's words over God's word. And really, Adam never did get that dominion back. Men of God of old, the Holy Spirit would come upon them for certain works, but and they would have dominion. You know, axe heads would float and miracles would happen, all kinds of things. But as a general rule, the species of Adam never did get that dominion back again. In fact, exactly what God said to Adam is what finally happened. The moment he ate of that tree, spiritual death set in. Physical death began working in his body. He didn't live out 1,000 years. And then eventually the whole species of Adam died in Christ. Just exactly what God said. The day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. And he did. Never got that dominion back. But then when God started this new creation, and he started with Jesus, his son, and quickened him from the dead, now we've got a new Adam. And we've got a new species. And everyone who's born in this species has the life of God, the life of the Father in them. That's why Jesus said, the Father has given to the Son to have life in himself. And then the Son, he gives to you to have that same life in yourself. We're of that DNA. We're of the spiritual DNA of Jesus. Now the problem is, we've got the physical DNA of Adam. It's a strange creature we are. See, because as long until this earth, yes sir, that's why it has to be here. Until this consummation of all things in Christ, until the end of this planet. Let me say it this way, be perfectly safe. Until the end of this dispensation, you have to have a body from Adam in order to have dominion here. You'll notice Jesus, once his body was glorified, once he once he was quickened from the dead and his body went through that glorification process, whatever that is. I mean, it's something else. Again, I don't know how he can eat that fish. My engineering mind just goes tilt. Sit there and eat a fish with the disciples. Walk through the wall and the fish not slide down the wall. I don't get that. Apparently, the fish gets glorified when it goes into him or something. But I can understand how his molecule... And I really know how it works. I do know. You know how he can walk through a wall? It's the light limit. See, in the beginning, when God said, light be, you do know that wasn't the sun, right? It's a few verses later when he creates the sun. What that is right there is the light limit. That's the universal constant of the universe, the speed of light. Did you know if you speed up the molecules in your chair, it'll disappear? If it approaches the speed of light, it'll disappear. It becomes non-tangible anymore. See, everything in the material realm is below that speed of light. That's why theoretically they keep trying to figure out some way. See, theoretically, you can't go faster than the speed of light. And I don't think you really can, because that's light B. That's the light limit. Everything in the material realm is below that speed of light. Everything in the spiritual realm is above it. And apparently a glorified body has a capacity to exist in either world. That's why he can become visible, become invisible, slow down, eat a fish, speed up, walk through a wall. He's not bound by the light limit anymore. All of that is that's Gary Carpenter's understanding presently of those things, and I will not argue with you on doctrine about that. Okay? I'm just, save your pens and your ink and your letters. That's the way I understand it at this moment. Okay? But I do believe that's why angels can do the same thing. You know, angels can appear and disappear. How can they do that? Well, they're from the realm of the spirit. And they can speed up or slow down. Dave's over here taking copious notes, you know. He's writing. This is theology and engineering trying to merge here. But I think that's what's going on. I think light B is the light limit in the material realm. All right, we better go on. What's it got to? What's all? See, and all of this is just, you know, I don't just want to stand up here and teach something to be teaching. I'm trying to understand how our kingdom works, so that when my Lord wants me to do something, I don't rebel just because I have an unrenewed mind. See? Yes, sir. But where we were going with that thought before I digressed. Was this our Adam? See, I said, yes, sir, that's where we are. Okay, the first Adam, he had dominion on the earth. But our Adam, what did Jesus say? After he said, all authority, all dominion has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Now, it's interesting that the first Adam wasn't exalted to heaven and have his throne there, was it? But our Adam, he's not on the earth. He is exalted into the heavens. There's been a lot of times I wish he was here. You know, I mean, I really do. I wish he was tangibly here. You know, and just doing the same things. And he's going, well, I'm trying to do the same things. I'm still trying to do them through my body. But my body is you. But religion has you convinced I can't do it through you. And that's where the church is. And that's why he said the answer is in Ephesians, awake, thou that sleepest. See, when he says to us, now I know that verse is really intended, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. It's really talking to unbelievers. But he said it to me because the church, even though we are alive, what else is he going to do? He's not going to send Christ back again. The work has already been done. But the church is asleep and walking like a dead man. We believe religion rather than the Word of God. Jesus plainly said, the works that I do, you're going to do them. And we're going... No, we're not. Yeah, we are. No, we're not. So then we step out, you know, rather than sit and be trained, we step out and try and act. Jesus himself said, I don't do that. That's not the way I function. He says, I decide as I'm told to decide. I don't do anything of myself. What I see my Father doing, that's what I do. As the voice comes to me, I make a decision. Well, that's a little different than I'm just going to step out and do it. All right, we've got to look at this last Adam. Why is he in heaven? Why is he in heaven when the first Adam wasn't exalted that way? Yeah. Let's see him. Let's see where he is first. Right here, it's in here in Ephesians. We normally read this whole prayer, but let's pick it up in chapter 1, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now see, this is what we're trying to comprehend. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? By the way, that word there is not exousia. It's dunamis. He's talking about, that's the word we get dynamite from. Now he's talking real power. He's talking opening the blind eyes. Well, let me say it a little differently. The greatness of his power in your spirit is the power to walk free from sin. And it's real power. It's not just authority either. It's the same way Jesus did it for 30 years before he was baptized by the Holy Ghost. Tempted like we are, what does that mean? Had a body just like the one you're wearing. Just exactly like the one I'm wearing. Yet without sin. I hate to say this. Many people around the world have never seen me. I'm 62. I'm 5 foot. Well, I used to be 5'8 and a half. I think gravity is winning. I think I'm 5'8 now. And I weigh too much. What did I weigh this morning? 212 pounds. That's too much for a 5'8 guy. It's about 35 pounds too much. Okay? I'm saying that on purpose because he's always mean on me and nice to you. We're not using your stuff. We're using my stuff. But now Jesus, he had a body just like mine, that yet without sin. Now that tells me, I hate to say this, but he lived and never committed the sin of gluttony one time. That tells me, since I'm born again, that part of the greatness of his power to Gary who believes is that the truth be known, I don't ever have to overeat again the longest day I live. Nor do I have to do any other fleshly sin the longest day I live. Now, see, when it comes to your new nature, that's the power that's in you that was when he quickened you to new life. You received that same dunamis that Jesus had that caused him to be able to walk righteous and holy even though he had a sin body from Adam, a body that likes to sin, a body that wants to sin, a body, even Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Yet there is dunamis, there is power in the new nature to walk free from sin. And we've got to come to where we believe that. Now the healing dunamis, that comes from the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself did no miracles, never did a miracle not one, till he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's why he would say, it's not even me doing the works, it's the Father in me. He's doing the works. Amen? But see, he told us, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't even go out and try and minister for me. Don't try and be my witness until you get baptized. You've got to be endued with that same power from on high. Well, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, most likely you've been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. So you've got that same anointing, that same baptism, that same dunamis from the Holy Ghost on you everywhere we go. So that, you know, then you start going, well, what's the problem? Well, that's why he's got us in Ephesians. If we knew exactly that, if we knew it, we'd already be in the revival. So we're contending for that right now. Now, this much I do know. Why is our Adam in heaven and not here on the earth? Why was it necessary? Well, go to John 12. Now, he's talking about this very thing. This is not long before the cross. Verse 23, John 12:23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Okay, now, that's the change. That's where he goes from what he is right there to being glorified. Now, and even his body became glorified. He went on to the next dispensation. He's already living in the realm that we're going to. We're going to get one of those glorified bodies someday. How many is real glad about that? I'm real happy about that. But we don't have it now, but he already does. Why? Well, it's because of this. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone." Now stop for a minute. How many humans at that moment when he's talking, how many humans on earth had the life of God on the inside? How many? One. That's why he's talking about himself. He says, if I just stay here and I just continue like I am, there will only be one. That's just one. I'm the only one like me that there is. Now, everyone knows about a seed. Every seed has an image on the inside. There's a little, you can have a little yellow corn seed. And it's amazing to me, having grown up in Shawnee and all around, I've seen corn fields, you know. That little old corn seed's not a quarter inch square. Kind of yellow in color. You plant it in the ground and water it. And, you know, well, it was yellow. But what starts coming up is green. And it doesn't look anything at all like what you planted. And it keeps getting taller and taller and starts putting out other green things as it comes up. And you're going, what in the world? That's not at all what I planted, see? But you're just not through with the process yet. When that thing comes to full harvest, you'll open up we'll shuck an ear, and you'll see on the inside several ears of corn, and they're full of those same kind of little seeds like you planted. See, the image is in the seed. Well, in him was the image of God. He is called the express image of God. In him, like a seed, is the nature. But as long as he stays on the earth by himself, there is only one. But he says, he finishes up here, he says, but if it dies, in other words, if it's willing, we know now he was actually buried in the ground, you know, it's like a regular seed. He rolled the stone over the tomb. He was put in the earth. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You're the fruit. It was not God's plan just to have one on planet Earth. We read that purpose of God earlier. No, he purposed. We could go back to Romans 8 where it says that he purposed that those that believe would be conformed to the image of his Son. Jesus had to go through this transformation process and literally become glorified to this next level so that he could be the Adam of our species, so that when you believe, there's something about this glorification where his life is imparted to you. He had to be glorified so that he could be multiplied. So let's say it this way, so his life could be multiplied in the earth. And we all understand that when it comes to any other kind of seed. He asked me one time, he says, "Have you ever seen any kind of seed on planet Earth where you plant that seed and you tend it and you water it and you keep the weeds away and you do everything, and then eventually that thing comes to harvest and it produces one seed, just one, like the one that was planted? Have you ever seen a plant like that?" He says, "No, and you never will, because that's not the way God designs things." What's the idea? You plant one seed and you get a harvest of many seeds. And inside each seed is the same image as the original that was planted. And each seed is able to produce exactly like the first one produced. What image is that? He is the express image of God. That's why it says a little later in Ephesians, if we'll come to know His love and to know it in a way that passes knowledge, He says, if you could ever learn the height and the depth and the breadth and the length, if you could ever really know that love, you can be filled with all the fullness of God. If my Bible didn't say that, I don't know if I could ever believe it, but it does say it. Now, if we're filled with... See, I tend to think if I was filled with a tiny little bit of God, God being God, I think a thimble full of God would empty the hospital myself. I really do. When I said that Dave's introduction, I haven't told you how it fits this. He was saying something like a little 7 or 8 pound baby born in a manger. Probably weighed, last Christmas letter was something like that. So weighed maybe 7 or 8 pounds. 17, 18, 19 inches long, little baby. And we look at it and say, isn't he cute? Isn't he pretty? You know, it's a little innocent baby. Witchy, witchy, woo. And he's the one that created all things. All things were created by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. I recently, just this week, I saw a television program about the Hubble telescope. And this one was made before they refitted it. And they were showing back in 1995 how that scientists wanted to know about this one area of space that just looked empty. With every telescope we had and everything that we had on Earth, you just look at that region and it just looked like it was a void, absolute void, nothing in it. So what they did, they pointed the Hubble towards that what looked like empty space, and they had it rotate, you know, just exactly like so it's not blurred, you know, with streaks. It's in the same rotation. And they let that thing just have an open lens for 10 days. Do you know what they found? The exposure that come in? I wish I had the picture for you to look at. That supposedly empty space of universe was filled with thousands of galaxies. Each galaxy containing billions of stars. They zoomed in. You could see little Milky Ways everywhere. Some of them were even colliding into other Milky Ways and causing this destruction. This one was imploding on itself and this hot gas was coming out. It looked like a big butterfly wings. And it was 38,000 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that. It would destroy anything in its path, you know. All this is going on while you're worried about your Sears bill. All of that came out of that little baby, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know? An empty patch of space. Oh, by the way, this was funny. I can't help but this. I can't help. When I was in college, you know, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I graduated in 69. We were using slide rules and logarithm tables for any of you that might go back that far. Never had seen a handheld calculator in my life, you know. Now, in those days, in my physics class, I remember somebody asked a question because they were showing you how a atom is made. And, you know, the nucleus is protons and neutrons. And then there's electrons that they're the ones that circle around. So somebody asked a good question because protons are positive charge and electrons are negative charge. So if you've got in the nucleus, you've got protons and neutrons, which have no charge. But so they're all positive. Somebody raised their, I wish I'd have been smart enough to ask the question, but some other brainiac said, well, if the nucleus is all positive and neutral charged, what keeps the atom from flying apart? Positive to positive. You ever try and put two magnets together, positive to positive? You can't do it. What keeps them from repelling each other? So the guy at the chalkboard, he says, we don't know. We just call it atomic glue. Well, now they've graduated from that. So they were going through this thing about how the universe is expanding and all of that. And part of one of their equations was coming up with we don't know what holds all this together. So you know what they call it? They just made up something called dark energy. This dark energy is what's holding everything together. And my Bible tells me the universe is being held together by the word of His power. The word of His power is held together because He's holding it together. Isn't that something? Little baby, 7 or 8 pounds, 18 inches long. Now He's your Adam. He's the one seated. We never did finish the verse. Far up. Go back to Ephesians. I never did read it, did I? Good Lord. You can tell my mind is chewing on these things. You know, I'm trying to understand because this is called meditation. This is called prayer. And also called not trying to force a revelation. That's a dangerous thing. So here we are back in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. But see, where He is, our Adam, your spiritual, it's even more than that, your real father, your Adam, the one from whom you are spawned, you new creature, you. You are no longer part of the Adamic race. Only your body, it's going to drop off like an old glove one of these days. You're going to get a new body. Your Adam, your progenitor, the looking unto Jesus, the author, the A, the Alpha of who you really are. Where is He? Man, He is seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He hath put all things under His feet. Hello, feet. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. And this is the revelation He's trying to get across to us. He had to be glorified and go on to the next dispensation. I don't know how to word that real well. He's already in the next one. He's where we're going to be in the next one. But He left us here because we're still wearing these bodies from the first man, Adam. And that's what gives you dominion on the earth. Now, He's been given dominion over heaven and earth. But to exercise it here, you have to have a body from the first man, Adam. That's why He had to leave us in these ridiculous things. I told you about the time I looked in the mirror and I went, Dad? Now I look in the mirror and go, Grandpa? For crying out loud. But still yet, the truth of the matter is, I've got dominion here from heaven because of my Adam working through this body. And it'll never be done. See, religion and the devil is hell-bent. And that's not a bad word. Hell-bent on keeping the church dead and asleep. I think of all the religion I grew up under. You vile thing. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. And you've been sitting in their church for 35 years, maybe, you know. Preach the cross. I mean, thank God for them. They preached the cross accurately. People could get saved there. But you're not going to grow very much because one Sunday you're saved, the next Sunday you're a sinner. The blue jean salesman, they made a lot of money with us because you get on your knees and repent every other Sunday. You backslide now. You got to go back and repent again. Never any understanding of who you are. I mean, this kind of message, it threw me out so quick. You'd have to go all the way back to tongues is for today. Because they don't even believe that. But we are privileged and honored and blessed to even be listening to the messages that Dave has brought forth and now what's coming forth in this hour. Understanding the kingdom. I mean, I've read all this about. I was trying to share with Dave and Tim the other day. I said that the New Testament's becoming a new book to me again. Go to 1 Peter. Now see, growing up like I did, and thank God for the cross, but man, they made us, we were very aware of the cross. We were cross-minded. And because the only part of salvation we understood was He died for me. He shed His blood for me. He's the Lamb. And all of that's true. It's all true. He's the Lamb. He died for me. He shed His blood for me. And thank God for all that. And all of our songs centered around the cross. And I still love those old, I will cling to the old rugged cross. I mean, I love those. But I don't want to cling to it anymore. I want to run to the resurrection. See, I used to read this and it was so blind to me. I remember, I'm talking 20 years ago, I'd read this verse and I wondered why Peter was so excited about what he wrote here. Because I thought, man, shouldn't he be talking about the cross? Look what he says here. Everything is becoming new. Look, when he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, when he says, to the strangers scattered throughout these countries, these places, when I read that now, to the strangers, it means a whole lot more to me than it did then. Peter understands we're part of a new species that are on the earth, but not of the earth. We're strangers and pilgrims here. We're only on temporary assignment. If it wasn't for winning lost people, a world to be won, we'd already be gone. There'd be no reason to leave us here at all. We'd already be in the new heavens and the new earth. When I read that, to the strangers, boy, you got that right. And we're going to become stranger and stranger to the world too. That's right. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. You got that right. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. See, it's elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I told you. He knew it ahead of time. Through sanctification of this, but he didn't choose for you. You had to choose, but he knew what you're going to choose. Just because you know something doesn't mean you caused it. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, we could just have church all around all those phrases. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now here's the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the cross of Jesus Christ. Is that what it says? No, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that used to be so blind to me. I thought, what? No. I mean, because in my mind it was only Jesus. He's the only one. He's been resurrected from the dead. How does that help me? My Sears bill. Huh? What's that got to do with anything? I had no idea. It was, thank God for praying in other tongues. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the born again trail. Laid all the foundations for this. Had no idea. No wonder Peter's rejoicing. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because he is the firstborn of a new species, and now we have hope because we're no longer condemned in that old species of Adam. We're of a new man, the second man, the last Adam, and we've been quickened to new life with him. Glory to God. And I'm reading this going, it's a new book. Everything I'm reading now, it's with new understanding. It's everything's different and new, and thank God for that. Because now we're going to come into that. I mean, I am a believer. What I mean by that is we are going to have this revival. I mean, I can tell He's got us. He's got a hook in our jaw. He is leading us as fast as we can toddle down the little walk. You know, I want to go over and watch TV for a while. Come on, son. Come on. Now I want to go over and mow the lawn for a while. Come on, son. Come on. No, I need to go fry potatoes and onions for my daddy. Come on, son. Whatever it is, you know, I mean, and he'll let you, but the idea is, come on. Can't you tell he's got a hook in our jaw? He's trying to take us somewhere. But he's not going to force us, but he's leading us. I can tell. I can feel it. It's not like something is coming. We're approaching something. We are approaching that door. I know it's got to be that door, the one that Dave saw a few years ago. You know, it just cracked a little bit. He could just see glimpses in there, but it was something like this. I hope I say it right. It was something like, through there is where preachers quit falling. Through there is where revival rages. We're getting right up. I think he's got the whole bunch is getting up close to that door now. And honey, when we step through that door, see, we're going to be really grateful then for all the hours of prayer. You'd be grateful for every handle that was purged off of you. Because if you, even Jesus, you know, we could go back to John again. Right before the garden, he said, the prince of this world's coming. What's he coming for? Looking for handles. See if he could find anything to turn this one. Was it hard? You look at it. Jesus agonized in that garden. He agonized. He said, the prince of this world's coming. But he has nothing in me. We got to be purged too. Or he'll find a handle of greed. He'll find a handle of self-esteem. He'll find a handle of selfish ambition. He'll find a handle of money, a handle of whatever. We'll be thanking God then. We all are going, thank you, Pastor Dave, for teaching. Thank you, Charlie, for teaching all those fasting messages. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for teaching all those praying in other tongues and fasting messages. And thank you, Gary, for teaching 9 years on Ephesians. Seems that way to me, too. Not really. I can't believe it. We're approaching the 90th lesson. Maybe the 90th lesson in Ephesians. And I still feel like we've hardly scratched the surface. Well, all I know to conclude it with is this. Listen, a little 7 or 8 pound baby born in a manger. Out of him not only came our creation and everything that's in it. That one little patch of space. Thousands of galaxies. Each containing billions of stars. And we get worried about our light bill. We get worried about, can he heal me? We get worried about, does he care? That's why I say a thimble full of God, I think, will empty the hospitals. And we're headed to a place where it says we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. How many are going to pray? Just keep on praying. Keep meditating the Word. Push away from another sandwich. Let's keep going. I don't care if we stumble 20 times a day. Let's pick ourselves up, repent, and get better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. Thank God that sentence has saved my life. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you. All I know is to be continued. I'm doing my part, and I know you're doing your part. People, the day's coming. Like Dave says, we're going to be happy campers then. We're going to be really happy campers when revival is raging. Father, I thank you again for your Word. Father, I pray it was coherent. Father, I know my mind is chewing and trying to digest things that are simple to you, but they're not so simple to us. Father, bring us all. Bring us all. Keep that hook. Keep drawing us towards that door. Father, we want to get all the way inside this time. We thank you for loving us enough not to leave us like we are. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen.